Hey, good morning. So let's turn to the Bible, Proverbs 3, 9 to 10. Proverbs 3, 9 to 10. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with the new wine. Let's bow our head and start off with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just really happy to go before, like come before, you know, your house and you know, worship you, praise you, and listen to your word. God, we really ask that, you know, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us and stir our heart as, you know, the message you're being shared. And I just pray that, God, that, you know, like what is taught by Proverbs 3, that we do not forget your teachings and our heart, we can always keep your command and, you know, bang around our neck and just like really engrave in our heart, God. Holy Spirit, continue to guide us this morning as we meditate on your word. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. So last week we have a meditation time. So we look through, we use Proverbs 3, verse 3 to 8 to meditate on God's word. And so it's a continuing on this journey of reading the book of Proverbs. And so, you know, if you remember, you know, this, you know, just give you some background on the structures, you know, of the passage. If you look at Proverbs 3, you can actually segregate into a different paragraph. And interestingly, if you look at, like, the key phrase, my son, and do not do that, and you will see that, you know, this is almost like a divider, talking about sections. Sections that group together, that read together, meant to read together. And so if you look at, you know, this verse 9 to 10, actually sitting in verse, is in this grouping of verse 1 to 10. It's like you read it as a whole together. And so remember last week, I was just going to read through the verse 1 to 10 again, just refresh our memories and just like let the word of God just sink into us. And, you know, verse 1, it starts off with, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandment. For the length of the days and years of the life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear of the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vat will overflow with new wine. So, you know, particularly today, this morning, we look at the verse 9 to 10. It talk about, obviously talk about giving. And very interestingly, straight up, it talk about honor the Lord for how do you honor God, but with two major things in this particular passage, this particular teaching, is from your wealth and from the first of your produce. Notice, here the author here is drawing a distinction. Your wealth and the first of your produce. So immediately, you know, when we look at the first of your produce, some translation is talk about first fruit. Whatever that you make or you produce, or translated in modern day's term, is whatever you earn from your working, hard working labor, and whatever that comes first. So the distinction here, really drawing, is that it talk about your wealth and also first of your produce. It talk about what is belong to you and what is belong to God. That's why it's drawing the two distinct categories here. And the wealth here is not just talking about, oh, the 90% whatever I earn. It talk about the property that you have, the inheritance that you have, whatever, like, you know, things that wealth that you accumulate, and you honor God with your wealth that, you know, based on whatever that you have that belong to you, that you honor God with, you know, with your giving. On the second part, it talk about honor God with the first fruit of your produce. And if we look at, we won't do a, you know, a Bible survey and understanding on, you know, oh, what is the first fruit of the produce, but simply summarize, it's the 10%, we call it, you know, today the calculation is like 10% of what you earned. And so then you will have no doubt, like, you know, people will ask question, like new Christian, they ask, like, you know, is it after tax, before tax? It is, you know, after I pay my bill, I give it to God. No, it talk about first. Whatever that come from your hard labor, from your toil, that coming, that produce coming from you, that is first off, it's like first fruit, whatever that you produce. So it is before tax. It's not talking, and also we talk about the priority. That whatever you're giving God the first and the best, you're not giving whatever is left over here. And the second part that, you know, I want to talk about, you know, about honoring. So, like, you know, obviously that the word here is, you know, today is when we talk about honor, like, you know, we things that we do in terms of honoring honoring a person is like giving compliment, like respect, and also honor the positions. And also a lot of time that we talk about, you know, in terms of like if you put in a workplace, people weight you or value you is by your salary or, you know, whatever that people, you know, put a dollar sign on you, how much you're worth. In that sense, it's like, okay, this is, you know, how, you know, people honor in today's culture. But here, it talk about the word of honor. It's not paying God, like, it's not saying paying God to God. It did not say that I give to God, but it talk about honoring God. And so it go nail down to a heart issues. What is that? Like, the attitude that how we give with reverence and respect to God. And here, Joel, that this also, you know, highlight to you is that we are honoring God with the things that we have, with the first fruit that we have, and it bring to a point that we need to examine our life too. You know, whether when in terms of our spending, you know, when we look at things, that are we, you know, honoring ourselves with whatever the wealth? Like, you know, the distinction here is like honoring God. It's with your wealth, from your wealth. And we have to do a quick heart check. It's like whether, you know, in terms of my spending, am I really like, who is taking the priority here? Is it God or is it me? So when the first paycheck come in, do we go like straight into shopping and doing all the things that we want to get? Or do we first come into mind is that, hey, we need to honor God first. And so I think it's a priority issue to talk about. I want to emphasize on the word honoring. And you know, in the Bible, it talk about, you know, people who fail to tithe in the book of Malachi. I'll read this scripture out to you later. But it talk about that if you don't tithe and make offering to God, it's considering stealing from God. And come with it, it's actually dishonoring God by not paying the tithe, the 10% that you earned, or the first of your produce. And also, it bring in the consequences. It bring curses to you and your family and the whole nations. So a lot of time, if you look at Old Testament, it talk about not just an individual, but it talk about how it being affected the whole community. And also, another element that I want to bring out also about honoring God is in here is obviously if we read the whole passage, the whole thing here, or like different point here is a commandment. It's really an act of obedience. Giving is an act of obedience that God tell you that, you know, honor me with your wealth and your first of your produce. And by doing that is an act of obedience. And the obedience I'm putting here and challenging you guys is that it's obedient inside out. It is obedient by your action, but also your heart. Because at the end of the day, the word honoring here is challenging us the heart issues. Are we doing it because we're forced to? Because we felt we heard about from other part of the scripture that curses are going to fall upon us, so therefore that we felt pushed to give to God. And this morning, I would just want to say that, you know, I challenge you about this obedience. Yes, we obey God's work, and let's take one step forward. Let's make that obedience is from inside out. Like, we willingly and cheerfully want to give it to God. Another aspect, also, if you read the, you know, verse 9 and 10, it's actually come with a promise, a blessing. It says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty. And he is not just talking about it is, and the vat will overflow with new wine. Here we put it into, you know, talk about produce and all this, talk about, you know, back in the old days, it's more agricultural agriculture, you know, environment. So people do farming, they raise animals and, like, you know, livestock and all this. So it talk about that. If you honor God with that, it come with a consequence. And so with, again, go back to the heart issue, I also want to challenge you this morning. It talk about honoring God here is not, like, you know, sometimes you will hear sermon and people about, you know, blessing from the God, and you do this and the overflowing of the blessing. And I want to challenge also you this morning is the motive. Do you look at this promise as a, how would I say it? It's a cause and consequence. It's not cause and benefit. You know, this is the benefit that I will get, so I pay my due. It doesn't work that way. It's the priority is because I want to honor God, and this blessing naturally come forth. It's not because of this blessing that is being promised that we give, but we give just because, simply because we honor God. And that consequence will continue to flow. It doesn't, you know, we challenge us when we look at the, like, scripture like that, we don't focus on the benefit, but we focus on the most important part is about honoring God. And also, you know, when we talk about giving and tithing and all these, one things that, you know, come to our mind is, you know, we are actually acknowledging who God is. He is the provider. He is the creator of all things, even our ability to earn. So when we actually, you know, or giving what God, you know, what is belong to God, and also giving to God, that it's, there is a trust issue. A trust issue that, you know, even I give, I will still have enough. And even I give, my life is still overflow with abundance. And it's your, how you anchor your faith. And so, again, it is, you know, it's not after I paying all the bills and I have leftover, I feel secure, then I give. No, it was talking about beginning. It talked about first fruit, because that means that you don't know how much you're going to harvest the rest of the seasons. But you know that, you know, whatever comes first, the choices produce, you give it to God, and it is an action of faith. And that way, you know, is also honoring God, because you acknowledge who He is, you trust who He is, and you take that step of faith, and itself is honoring God. And the other thing that talk about heart issues that, you know, all the, most of you guys done GIC, like, you know, about giving. So the verses obviously is 2 Corinthians, you know, 9:67. Well, I expanded it to 6 and 7. It talk about whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsions, for God's love is a cheerful giver. And this is the attitude, talk about honoring. Honoring is not, oh, it's pain, it hurt to give. No, honoring is like you decided in your heart to give, and you do it cheerfully. And because, simply because that you know God deserves what you give, going to give Him. And so, you know, talk about the word honoring. I challenge you guys, like, do a heart check. Like, in terms of when I give, am I having the right attitude in terms of honoring God? And naturally, come with this passage, the next question is that, you know, how to give later, honoring God from your wealth. So what does it mean? Does it mean I give it to the church? Yes, that's the most, like, you know, logical, you know, deductions, kind of, you know, who God is where, you know, the house of the Lord. And in fact, if you look at Old Testament, they where, you know, people, when they do offering or Thanksgiving offering, a different type of offering, they go to the tabernacle, give it to the priest, and, you know, they even have a feast of, I think they call it feast of first fruit. So whatever that produce, the first fruit, they celebrate and they give it to the priest, and the priest would go to the, you know, the tabernacle and offer to God. And so, you know, translate in today's term is that we give it to the church, because a church, you know, it's more than four walls, but it is a place of worship where God is being lifted up, where God is being glorified. in worship and also in service, like how God, how the church come together and serve the community. And that itself is also worship and living God up and living out, you know, what God have commanded us. So, you know, obviously for the tithe, you know, the first offer, first fruit of whatever that you receive from your toils and labors, that you give it to God, you give it to the church. I mean, there are people, you know, ask question, oh, can I bless the kingdom, you know, not just the church, but, you know, other organization or Christian organization advancing God's mandate. I think it's yes, but then it's not from your tithe, because obviously, you know, if you read, you know, different verses from the Bible, it talk about going back to God as a house, you know, go to back to the house of Lord, and it is church. And you know, we look at this particular scripture, honor God with your wealth. So you can do whatever that belongs to you, that the wealth that you have, and you can, you know, support, you know, sponsor any, you know, organization that's advancing God's kingdom and living out God's mandate. And definitely, I think the key here about honoring God with your wealth, that the things that you need to ask is what, to who we give. And obviously in the Bible is very clear, and if I can summarize, you know, one thing is helping the poor and the needy, the widows and all this, but also another thing, if you look at New Testament, it talk about supporting working in the field, supporting, like, you know, in terms of like Paul's letters, like churches support him and all this, it talk about missions. It talk about, you know, money go to missions and also go to the poor and needy to serve them. And so these are the things that is already written in the Bible. You don't need to hear audible voice and say give to poor or give to mission, because it's already written and it's already spoken to you. But as a good steward, we need to ask then, yes, this is a commandment, but how I allocate my wealth in terms of advancing God's kingdom. And so you ask God, you know, who to give and what to give. And I just want to, you know, challenge you, you know, our church always claim, you know, or claim, well, we try to be, you know, a church that with a heart of missions. So I would say that, you know, it's not as if we meet a missionary every day, right? Which is only every now and then we bump into, like, come across missions and all this. And I just want to invite you, you know, whenever that, you know, a missionary come on your path, they're serving, like, well, you look at, you know, how, whether they are real, you know, sometimes, I heard this horrible story that, you know, people, really horrible story about missionaries, like, they just didn't, you know, they hadn't have, you know, well, basically loser in the life and just, you know, just go on mission field, escape and all this. But if a real and authentic, you know, missionary really have a passion of God, come in across your path, give them, I mean, for me, it's like, even you giving a $10 is also a reflection of your heart, reflection how much you value what God's value. So, you know, no matter big or small, give. Is sometimes people is like, oh, $10 is really nothing. But then if everyone in the church who give that $10, it would definitely help, you know, the missionary or, you know, to really, you know, living, walking in God's faith and witness, you know, God's blessing. And also, you know, God's providence in their life. And also, you know, it's also a statement by you is that I support missions. I support what's God's value. And so, you know, when we talk about honoring God, you know, that's the couple things that we look at. We contribute to church, and also, you know, we give what God's heart is and what God is telling us to give and how much that we're going to give. And so, you know, particularly from these particular scriptures, as I mentioned earlier, that's the cause and consequence, and there's obviously benefit or promise that coming out from this particular scripture. Reading it directly from 9, you know, 10, it talk about that you will your barns and your vats talk about, you know, the wine press, you know, get new wine, and then it's like your supply, it will be overflowing. Basically, it's like what you honor God with, God honor you. So, you know, in the scriptures that, you know, you honor God, God will also honor you in what you give. And so naturally, it's obviously talk about financial blessing here. That's the promise of financial blessing if you honor God with your wealth and honor God with the first of your produce. And as I mentioned, you know, these particular verses sit in verse 1 to 10. And if we try to understand, you know, the meaning and to meditate on God's word, we look within the context. And just purely by looking at verse 1 to 10, we realize that that's actually additional benefit from honoring God, for additional benefit for giving to God. And if you, obviously this is a commandment, and he say that, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandment, for the length of it, the length of the days and years of the life, and peace they will add to you. You actually, you know, when you give, you get the sense of peace. You have a longer life. And it also true that it is, you know, the second part, verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. And then the benefit of that is that so that you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And this is a biblical truth that if you remember it and do not let it depart from your heart, and you always put into actions, that the other benefit is coming from you is that you will find favor in God and good repute in not just God, also in man's eyes, about your generosity and you know, that sort of thing flowing through. And then also we talk about, you know, when we talk about honoring God, is that trusting element. I trust that God will provide. It's not by sight but by my faith. And a lot of time, you know, you probably heard about in fact I can, you know, use Lee Ann Chang's testimony last time. She was testifying about, you know, when for the building fund, when God spoke to her and she just do a faith pledge and in her action is like, I want to give God what I hear from God and all this. And at the end of the day, she was able to fulfill her pledge and over and above. And really, it is talking about not leaning on your understanding, not looking at your finances. If you remember her testimony, is when she became a missionary, she had no income, but yet she gained, like, you know, 4 times of whatever the figure that God gave her is her faith pledge for the year. And so looking at the finances is impossible. Looking at your, you know, your, it's not leaning on your understanding how much you're going to earn because you're not earning. But the thing is that for her, it came through. Money came through, and she was able to honor God with that. And really, it's that trusting element. So you're trusting God with all your heart and lean on your understanding and acknowledging him. And here we obviously, when we give to God, is acknowledging that he's the creator. He's the provider. He's our source of everything, of the source of our being. And so, and the benefit obviously is your path being made straight. And the next one is also talk about the fear of God and turn away from evil. As I mentioned about, you know, in the book of Malachi, it talk about that, you know, if you don't pay tithe or make offering, it is stealing from God's storehouse. And there's curses coming from it. And at the end of the day, you know, this is, you know, that you are sinning by not paying tithe. And it talk about this element about, like, this healthy fear of God. Because if you, like, don't honor God with that, in the sense that you're actually stealing from God, in many ways, it's like, you are, how I put it, you're fearless of God in that sense. You don't believe that he is this awesome God, but he is also the God who judge. And so, you know, by honoring God with our giving, that the benefit here is the healing to our body and refreshment to your bones. So when you look at this particular scripture, reading it in the context, it's like, oh, there's so much more that coming together with giving to God. And obviously there's other things that, you know, come with the different scripture, different part. We're using different scriptures, and a lot in the book of Proverbs 11, if you go, you know, to look at it later, it talk about that, you know, when you give, you get even more, that sort of things. And in the book of Malachi, I just want to read it out to you. And so if you can turn to the Bible, Malachi 3, 8 to 12. But you ask, how are we robbing God? And God answer here is in tithe and offering. You can actually rob God with your tithe and offering. And it talk about here is that you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and that there may be fruit in my house. Test me in this, and say the Lord Almighty, and see if I will throw open the floodgate of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be a room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vine in your field will not drop their fruit before it ripe, say the Lord Almighty. Then all the nation will call you blessed, for yours will be a delight land, say the Lord. So talking about that, you know, when we simply honor God with our giving, that it come with that amazing, the challenge from God is like, try me. Like, if you honor me with your giving, that see how much I bless you and all this stuff. And, this is the scriptures and illustrations is, you know, people testimony. And I time after time, I hear people share testimony. And one particular testimony, one of the ladies in our church, and she was sharing about her testimony about tithing. And, you know, she is someone that who would not look at her mail for like 3 months. And then she would outstanding bill, not paying, and like at the risk of having the electricity being cut off. But it's simply just she's not good at doing finance and stuff. And so she shared with me that this one time, like this season of time, it's a season of time that everything just go crazy. Work go crazy. The things that she handle is just like, you know, office is just chaotic and not going anywhere. And somehow, you know, she pray and then suddenly God, you know, reminded her about tithing. And so finally she sit down and work out her finances. And she realized that she actually not doing her due, and so she end up like, you know, work out her tithe, and then she actually pay, you know, give it to the church. And her testimony is that as soon as she start doing that, honoring God with her giving and tithe, that things start smoothing out. Her work, the cases that she has, and you know the new clients that she has, the blessing that she has over and above, and interesting that you know that people you know actually have you know real testimony sharing about this sort of thing. So, one of the things that you know is easy to say, right? You know, giving, but sometimes it's really hard. I do meet people that you know it's difficult. I earned it. It's my hard toil and labor. And they find it's very hard to give. And I think one of the things that really come down to is really the stumbling block. What I identify is the spirit of poverty. I'm not talking about, you know, demons and evil. Like, that could be that kind of spirit of poverty that in operations. Basically, it's from the lies of the enemy telling you that you don't have enough. God won't give you. God might bless other people, but not you. Another telltale sign that, you know, it's the lack of generosity. You try to hold on to things. You buy things for your own. You're hoarding on it, building stuff that you don't need. Like, these are the telltale signs. Like, it's like that the spirit of poverty really operating in you. And I remember, you know, when I first became a Christian, so that, you know, people tell me to tithe and all this, I just naturally just came without much effort for me for certain reasons. I just quickly, you know, I don't know, I think for me it's acknowledge that whatever that I have is really coming from God. So it wasn't a difficulties. But then I remember one of the faithful thing I do is like I actually talk to God in shower. So you're getting your physical cleansing and also your spiritual cleansing too. And I remember during that time, God really revealed to me that something that the spirit of poverty actually has been operating in my life and also in my family is that we always felt that we do not have enough. When I look back, you know, we're not like super rich people like, you know, Li Ka Shing and all this, right? But then we do have enough, and we do, I was able to buy brand stuff, but not crazy and all this well. But I have enough. And in fact, more than enough when I compare to, you know, other people that who are living in poverty. But yet I weren't able, at the same time as I was enjoying the wealth, but I'm actually not enjoying it because I always had at the back of my mind, it's like, wow, we are poor, we don't have enough. And then at the back, it's like, so obviously this is the blessing from God, that whatever that God given you from your wealth, that you fully enjoy it. But at the back, there's a nagging voice and always telling this is not enough. We don't have enough, or we, this is not really belong to you. But that's sort of like operation in me and in my family. And I realized that, you know, this is the spirit of poverty operating, you know, in our mind, telling us that, you know, that we, you know, do not have enough. We worry about our finances. If we, you know, these are the things that, you know, when we talk about, you know, trusting and all this, it's like when we start worry about, like, where's the next penny coming? And you know, for what do we do, you know, when this sort of thing coming, and it will affect, you know, that like you can probably do your finances and all these bills coming in, how am I going to pay God that 10%? You know, it's, people will in a tight situation will face that. And a couple of things that I just want to share with you, three things that really help to really break that spirit of poverty. One thing is to give. And this is one of the story that I heard from one of our members in my EG class. So basically, you know, the person that was sharing with me about that he always like buy stuff and, you know, and have a difficult time in giving. And during one particular time that, you know, he felt convicted that God tell him to give, and he ended up giving. And his testimony is like, as soon as, like, you know, soon after he take the first step and start giving to God, something broke in his, well, I would say that something broke in his spiritually. It no longer become a bondage. It no longer holding him down and thinking that, you know, it's difficult. And from that point, he shared is that he was able to give more easily. So one of the, you know, things that we can do is that by giving, even though, you know, taking the step of faith, if your finances very tight, by doing that, taking that step of faith, that's breaking in the spiritual realm and also, you know, in your heart attitude, for that actually will help you to build up, you know, the gift of giving that is in you. And the other thing that also, you know, is it to be a good steward. We call to be a good steward of whatever, you know, God given us. And so by looking at your finances, you know, examine your lifestyle. And I have one girl sharing with me that that, you know, she's have such a difficulty in giving. She's first, like, just have her first pay job, like, work hard and all this, right? But then, in the sense that this is my entitlement. And so, and then she start doing her finances. She actually recorded how much she spent and what she's spending on. And when she look at the things that she buy for herself and all this, it's so much more than what she's giving to God. And she realized, and like, I mean, I do encourage, you know, if even though you don't have a habit, but do every now and then, and just really look at your spending pattern. It tell you a lot of things about your attitude, tell about yourself, and it's a good heart check. So even though you're not in a habit, you may not be in a habit to doing a, you know, recording and all this, but do a, you know, season of time, look at it, because it's really for heart check purposes. And and when she was looking at her finances and her spending pattern and all this, and she realized, you know, I pamper myself so much more than God. And so she took the first step of faith, and well, not first step of faith, but first step of obedience, and start paying tithe. And it made it easier for her to do that. And the other thing that I find that's really important is prayer. Before I go on to that, I do want to address another point. A lot of time that someone who are in financial difficulties, and first thing we probably do a checklist of whether you're tithing, you're giving. And that's a scenario that come in my path too, that's people, you know, in need. And when I ask her those questions, the question is yes, you pay all this. And so the question then hey, how does this scripture work? You say that I honor you with my wealth and my my first fruit, that you will bless me. And how come this person is still in financial difficulties? I want to say that, you know, when you look at scripture like that, you don't just look at one sentence and this is the formula and that's it. You actually look at the wider scope, other scriptures and how other things. And when we actually sit down and look at her finances, then we realize that her spending pattern, she overspent. She borrowed money to buy like luxury goods and stuff like that. She does not have to go on. If your finance is tight, you don't have to go for, you know, expensive phone plan. You can go for something minimum for like less than $100, but instead she go for $500. And so like these are the things that I think at the end of the day, like her story is also a testimony too. Because even she is overspending and she's not cutting her, but because, I don't know, maybe simply because she honored God, at the end of the day she come out from her financial difficulty. It's money coming in and that got resolved. But I think the journey here, God is telling us that being a good steward, we need to look at our finances. And so, you know, when we look at, you know, scriptures and stuff like that, we just have to be aware that things are in other facet of scriptures that also operate in our life. And so just now I mentioned, I know we've been long this morning, but I do want to say that prayer is really important. And this morning, this particular prayer is very long prayer. I got it from website, but it is one of the prayer that, you know, I share with you that morning that I have God was speaking to me about me and my family are living in that spirit of poverty. And I really felt that, you know, this particular long prayer that lasts about, you know, 2 pages in my notes, actually really helped to break some of the bondage that I have. And also, basically, if I look at this particular, you know, prayer is online. I got it online, and they use scripture to pray. And just to break it down, a few things that if you're not giving or you're not honoring God with your wealth and honoring God with your first fruit of produce, you're already sinning. So a major part of the prayer here is repentance and confessions. And also towards the later part is the declarations of your faith and the truth. And so I really want to read it out to you guys, but I don't just want to read it out to you guys. I want to read it out. And if you agree with me, then, you know, in your heart or even you in your soft whispering voice, just tell God, I agree, I repent in agreement, or I confess in agreement, I, you know, declare in agreement with whatever that I'm reading out. So I'm actually not reading out the whole thing, but I want to highlight those parts that I believe it helped me, and I really want to help you. So let's, you know, close our eyes and just, you know, I go through it slowly with you, and if you agree with those statements, you just say, God, I repent, whatever Pastor Sophia talk about here. So okay, God, we just really want to come before you with a clean hand and clean hand and pure heart, God, to go before you. God, that I repent that I have not treated and valued the kingdom of heaven as I should, and that I have exchanged the value of the kingdom of heaven from the desire of my heart in the form of earthly kingdom. Lord, I repent for worrying about life, food, and clothing. I repent for laying up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. I repent from robbing the Lord and not freely and cheerfully giving my offering to you out of heart of love. Lord, I repent for loving money, for serving mammon, riches, for greed and for covetousness. I repent of the belief that money is the answer to everything in my life. I repent of expecting money to be my answer and my friend. I repent for forsaking you as my life source and for focusing my eyes on the pursuit of wealth to my own harm and the harms of others. I repent for choosing to serve mammon in preference to you and thereby filling my life with darkness. I renounce on behalf of my ancestor and myself for every agreement made with mammon, by using money in ungodly ways and for ungodly purposes. I repent for being double-minded with money and unstable in all of my ways. I choose to hate mammon and love you, Lord, with all my heart, my whole heart. I choose to place my treasure where my heart is, in the kingdom of heaven, for you to use as you choose. I repent for making money my defender, security, and protections. I repent for making money for the center of the universe and not you, Lord. I repent across the generation line for abandoning and sacrificing family and relationship, land and culture, and even faith in God, and for seeking gold and earthly treasures. I choose to seek after the ultimate treasure of my Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, with all my heart. I repent on my behalf and my ancestor for believing in poverty mindset and being stingy with the body of Christ. I declare that Jesus came to give us abundance life. Father, in your mercy, free me and my future generations of consequence of this. I repent and confess the lies that godliness implies poverty. Lacking in basic necessity, living in poverty, always being in need, and that the children would never procure their educations. I choose to believe and accept that God will supply all my needs and that there will be an inheritance for 1,000 generations, that my descendants will not have to beg for food and that all my needs will be met. I repented for myself and my generation line for hardening my heart and shutting my hands against my poorest brothers in their needs. I repent of holding back my possessions and service to get the highest price from those in need. I declare I will open my hand and heart to the poor, sharing my resources as you need, as you lead, as no one will lack, and your power will not be hindered, and your grace will remain. I repent for spending money on that which does not satisfy and not coming to your living water to drink and bringing unity in the body of Christ. I choose to not hold back from the needy. I break in Jesus' name the curses that has come against me and my generation line for demanding unfair prices from the needy. Lord, will you release your blessing and grace on my selling and trading, especially to those in need. I repent for not freeing the poor, nor taking care of the widows and orphans. Lord, break off the curse of sowing much and bringing in littles, eating and not having enough, and earning wages not to put them into a bag with holes. Lord, connect me to you alone. I choose not to hold on to anything but you. I give everything I have to you. I repent for myself and my family line for the judgment that gift of the Holy Spirit could be purchased or sold. I break the curse that the money in my generation line and in my life would perish with me. I repent for my wickedness and my generation wickedness and ask that my heart would be restored in a right relationship with you. Lord, I repent for my giving an obligation. Lord, I repent for making my giving an obligation to you, and not a free act of my love. Lord, remove the yoke of obligation for me. Remove the canopy of law and obligation for me. Lord, allow me to live in your grace and your provisions. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to the one who direct me what to give. Lord, make my giving come from an attitude of gratitude and of love. I choose to seek and follow your guidance in my giving, God. Lord, I repent for not trusting you and not trusting you to provide. On behalf of my ancestor and myself and for generations, I choose to forgive those who have swindled me, especially banks and financial institutes and government agency, and those who have charge me usury, and those who have tried to keep me in poverty and have disinherited my children. I declare I will be content in you and in my wages in whatever financial state I am in. Lord, thank you for giving me the creativity to produce wealth in seed. Holy Spirit, teach me what to sow, what to reap, and what to harvest for your purposes. I declare that I will eat of the bread of life and delight in your abundance. I declare that I am a member of many members of the body of Christ, in whom are all the hidden treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, would you please release me the blessing and the joy of giving free, the joy of giving freely in accordance with your will for my life. Lord, help me to see money with spiritual eyes, knowing that it is your resources and it belongs to you. Lord, would you release the treasure that the enemy has stolen from me and my family line? I declare that your words say you will go before us and make the crooked place straight. I will break in pieces the gate of bronze and cut the bar of irons. You will give us the treasure of darkness and hidden riches of the secret place. You are the one who gives power to get wealth that you may establish your covenant that you swore to our fathers, and it is this day. The blessing of the Lord make one rich, and you add no sorrow with it. The generous heart will make rich, and he who water will also water himself. Thank you for enabling me to leave an inheritance to my children's children. And finally, God, I just want to say that, God, would you give us a circumcised heart so that you can release your treasure from heaven. In this time, if Jackie can come up and just lead us in a time of worship.
And praise in the Lord of
just want to proclaim that you are indeed our Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. You are the Lord in our life, God, that you are number one and the most important, you know, one that is in our life, God. This morning that, you know, as we read through and pray with the prayer of repentance, I don't know whether my brother and sister, they are ready to repent. But for those who truly want to repent and confess, you know, that what they have not been doing, what you call them to, God, I really ask that, you know, this prayer is a sincere prayer to lift it to you, God. And I just ask that you continue working us, God, so that we have the rightful attitude in terms of giving. Indeed, giving to you is honoring you. And so guide us and lead us, God, in the days of our walk with you, God. God, that we're going to continue to lift up, you know, more prayers to you, and please continue to hear from us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. So let's continue to press in to pray for the community. We'll probably go through it quickly because it's long today. So, yeah, so for those that who are suffering in cancer and, you know, serious illness, let's lift them up in prayer. Let's take to the next slide to pray for those that who are suffering ill illness and pray for their salvations. Turn to next slide. Let's continue to pray for those who are in members of our families who are suffering, and pray for the healing. And next, let's pray for those of our brothers and sisters who are seeking employment. We trust that God will give, God will bless, and God will provide. And pray that, you know, this truth really nail in their heart in the time of waiting and preparations. Let's go to our community mission focus today, which is mission focus is Indonesia and Singapore for future church planting. So let's leave this to ministry. Let's pray for the education ministry. We talked about this morning about teaching from God and commandment from God. Really pray that, you know, the teachers and the leaders in those groups that really are imparting, you know, God's truth to the kids, to the youth, and to the college student. Also pray for the families members, SB family and marriages, for love, healing, unity, restoration, and protections. Let's continue to lift up the three houses of the meeting today, the Bel Air, this morning. I think it's happening now. And my daddy's in the afternoon and our Robinson family. So just Robinson family, I think also in the morning too. So pray that for good fellowship and sharing. particular when we are coming to work together on this topic about humility, really pray that, you know, really work in that, in terms of that, in the sharing and fellowship time. Pray for the weekend activities, Sunday service, the worship, hospitality, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, outreaches. Also, you know, there's a prayer meeting this morning for the local outreach homie ministry. So if you're interested, can join after the service. And also there's training for the prison ministry that's coming up also this morning. So let's lift up, you know, everything go smoothly and effectively. God, we just want to conclude, you know, our prayer time, our corporate prayer time, with a proclamation that God, you are awesome God. God, you are the one who provide. You are the creators. And we just thank you. We are so thankful for the blessing that you have given to us and our children's children, the generation to come. So continue to lead and guide us, Lord. Teach us how to really trust in you and not leaning on our own understanding. And let us continue to walk the way that you have called us to walk, God. And the time that, you know, later that my brother and sister continue to soak in you and meditate on your word, continue to speak to them throughout the day, God. Thank you for being with us this morning, God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. So, yeah, that's it. So enjoy your time and fellowship with God.